Not a guest speaker, but the speaker who maybe you've all been waiting for this summer, and that is Ricky Moore.
Have a seat. Have a seat. Thank you guys so much. It really is good to be back, and I mean that. You know, we've worshiped at many different churches, Zoe and I have, over the past summer. But there's nothing like being with church family. And you guys are special to us, who you really are. We love you. And I think, I know that our hearts broke. Some of you have experienced, some of our church family has experienced some great loss and some great hurt. And when we heard about those, our hearts were just heavy for you. But I want you to know that we love you guys, and we've been praying for you. And know that God is there with you. So I also want to say this. I want to say thank you for the gift that you guys gave us to be able to be gone like that. What a gift. Not every pastor gets a gift like that. And we have a tremendous, not just church family, but a tremendous church staff and church elder team that enabled all this to happen. And thank you to them. You know, I missed our team. Our staff team is like who I do life with, and I just miss coming in and laughing with them and joking with them and praying with them and sharing where my heart was with them. But it was like radio silence, you know, for the past 3 months. And so it really is. And I just want to say, our staff team, the way they stepped up, and our elder team, the way that they filled the gaps, the way that our elders would call the staff and say, hey, are you okay? Is everything going okay? You know, that was just, we're just so thankful for our staff team and our elder team and just our church family. You guys made it happen, so thank you for doing that. So on my sabbatical, I should have made a slideshow and we could all sit around. No, but I just want to say this, that on the sabbatical, we kicked it off like immediately with my son graduating from PA school through the Army down at West Point. And so that was like how it kicked off. And then I got to spend time with my family like I hadn't before. I got to spend so much time with Zoe throughout the whole summer. I mean, this was like crazy. It was like, oh my gosh, what do I do with all this time, right? With you. Yeah. And she's like, I'm thinking this is the way retirement is going to be, right? We're going to get to hang out. Never in my life have I had this much time with just Zoe. And she's like, yeah, but when you retire at 85, you're going to drive a school bus, right? So I was like, but you know, it was good. And we had an amazing time together. We got to spend some time in June, and in the month of June, for some of that, we were up in New Hampshire. And then in August or July, we got to go to a Nashville area. And then in August, we took a whole family vacation and went down to Florida and got to spend time down there, and kind of capped it off with my youngest being engaged. And so down in Naples, Florida, on the pier there. So that was amazing. And we had just amazing, amazing time. Thank you for that. Today, though, what we're going to do, because all through my sabbatical, I got to do a lot of reading, and in the month of June, went through this master class with the author called, his name was Pete Scazzaro. He wrote this book called Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. And there is one thing that he really stressed to us in that class, and his book stresses this as well, and it's this idea of silence, of listening. And today, as we wrap up this teaching series that we're in, I get to have that privilege to do that, wrap up this whole teaching series that we've been talking about, prayer. But first, let's bring our attentions to the screen, and let's watch this bumper video.
Before we begin, since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
Oh, man. great.
What, dear?
Grace!
Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace. The blessing!
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
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 So today, some of us have a harder time with hearing than others, right? I know in my own mom, she has hearing aids, and when they're not in, I can tell because through the phone, I'm yelling. I feel like I'm yelling at her, but I'm just trying to talk loud enough so she can hear, and it's partly my fault. One time, recently when we were on an airplane, I lost one of her hearing aids, and so it's been very difficult for my mom. And even myself, I have a hard time hearing sometimes. I have a loud ringing. Most people don't know this, but there's a loud ringing in my ear on my right side. And it clouds. And Zoe keeps on saying, you need to go have that looked at. Because she'll say something to me. And I'll be like, what? What'd you say? Because I didn't quite hear her. But some of us have a harder time hearing than others. And we have to be very intentional about hearing or listening. And I don't know, maybe again, I know that in my own life that sometimes I'm just not paying attention, right? There are times when, like, Zoe will call me and she'll be talking to me and I'll be doing this email. And I'm listening to her because I got my earbud in, but I'm, typing out this email and she's going through, whatever she's saying. I'm just like, yep, you sure? Yep. But my focus is on this email that I'm getting out. And then, I'll get done and I send it. And then now I'm like really tuned in. I'm listening to her. And then I'll say, hey, what were you thinking for dinner tonight? And she'll be like, Rick, I just told you, I had a whole conversation with you, what we're doing. You need to stop at Dave, and on and on. And it's because I'm not really listening. Now, maybe I'm the only husband that does that, okay? Maybe. But in all of our relationships, there are times when we lean in, though, isn't there? There's times when we lean in to listen a little bit more intently. There are times when we are having these serious conversations and, man, we're hanging on every word. And today, I'm something that we did on our sabbatical was be able to go with my brother-in-law. This is my brother-in-law here. He's getting all harnessed up. My son-in-law is getting harnessed up. And my niece, Sophia, and her friend Alana, and myself, we're getting all harnessed up, and this is one of those times when I'm leaning in like I've never leaned in before, because we're being harnessed up because we're about ready to go up into this little plane, and we're going to jump out of that thing. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, what? Yes, I did that. I don't even like heights, but I am listening intently to the instructions, because this is life or death, right? So as the instructor, now, we all were instructed by Mr. Customer Service. This guy was amazing. This guy was super nice. He was like just really good, funny, just encouraging, right? And so he instructs all of us, but he doesn't jump with me. I get Mr. 6'4", Mr. German man who have failed out of customer service. And after we get done doing this, he comes over to me and he basically walks me through everything what this gentleman had already walked us through. And what he's telling me is that now, when we get up in that plane, he says, Don't you, well, the first thing he's going to do, he says, I'm going to put my foot, the plane's going to be moving at 80 to 90 miles an hour. When I open the door, I'm going to put my foot out on a step that's over the wheel on the plane. As soon as I do that, immediately you need to move your right foot and place it right next to mine, because I'm going to be connected to you and I cannot carry the weight of both of us. And I'm thinking, okay. And then he says, and do not look down. When we open, do not look down. If you look down, you are going to vomit. Do not look down. I said, okay. And then he says, and you're going to have the tendency, when I say go, you're going to want to tuck and roll, and you will put us into a spin. And if you put us into a spin, that's going to make us into a mess on the planet of Earth. Okay? So don't look down. Don't look down. Don't tuck and roll, or it's going to be bad for all of us. And then he said this, and don't you beep this up. Like, he dropped the big old word. You know, he just, like, dropped it right on me. I'm like, oh! So, now, I thought this was going to be fun. I'm looking forward to, like, now all I can think about is all that I just was instructed, right? So, when we get up there, he opens the door, and I'm like, okay. Like, he's all happy there. That's the only time this dude smiled, because I'm telling you, this guy does not smile. And then we are looking out. He's about ready to put his foot on to that. He puts his foot on there, and all, look at my face. Like, this is all I can think. Oh, my gosh, he's got his foot out there. I've got to hurry. Put my foot out there. I can't look down. I've got to hold my head back and not throw up on this guy. So that's what I do. And then we go to jump and we start free falling. We are free falling for 30 to 40 seconds. They said you're doing about 100 to 120 miles an hour. So all of my fat is just slapping me right in the face, right? This is like, it was like crazy. We are up. I mean, we went to 10,000 feet. Now, you know how, if you fly, you know how high 10,000 feet is, because when you're in like Southwest, a chime goes off and the flight attendant pulls out the mic and she says, at this time, you can pull out your computers or large electronics that you had stowed above. And, you know, that's how high we were. We were at that level above the clouds when we jump out, and we are just like sailing down 100, 120 miles an hour, flying through the air, the clouds, and then we pull the ripcord, and I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. There really is a parachute, right? And then you just come in, and you come in flying. I felt like we were flying. I'm like, dude, can we slow this thing down? Do we get, you know, put the turbo blasters in reverse or something? No, but you just put your feet, you keep your knees up as high as you can, and you land on your butt, and you just slide on the grass, and you land pretty hard, and I'm like eating grass. It's just like flying up in my face. It was crazy. But you better believe I was listening. I was listening to every word. And I thought, do I do this with God? Do I listen to every word that God has, that he's trying to speak to me? Do I lean into that? Like I did this parachute listening, this instruction. And here today, what we're going to see is that prayer, this is the big idea, prayer is more than talking to God. It's listening to God. I think we've got the talking to God part down pretty well. I know I do, because for the past, you know, several years, I've done a lot of talking to God. Something that I realized throughout my sabbatical is that I haven't done a whole lot of listening. That I haven't just paused to listen, to hear what God might be saying to me. And we're going to get into that. So here's what we want to do. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to see that listening is part of a healthy, growing relationship with God. Just like listening is vital to your relationships that you have here. Whether they're work relationships, whether they're, you know, your partner's relationship, you know, whatever kind of relationships that we have here, that is, listening is such an important role in growing a healthy relationship. And the same thing is true with our relationship with God. The other thing that we're going to see is that silence is a way of hearing from God. And then what we're going to do is actually practice listening. We're going to practice listening through communion this morning. So let's go back to the big idea that listening is part of a healthy, growing relationship with God. Let's take our Bibles, go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. While you're turning there in your Bibles, or while you're opening your Bible app on your phone, let me just give you the context. Because last week you heard Nate talk about a lady named Hannah. Hannah was pleading with God, was begging God to hear her prayer. Her prayer was, God, would you please give me a child? And God finally gave her a child after a long time of begging God, after prayer, after fasting. God finally gives her a child. But part of that prayer was, and God, I'll give this child back to you in service for you. And that's where we pick up. Hannah does that. Hannah, while Samuel was just a young, young boy, she does what she did, what would have been so hard to do, and that was to bring her son, her young, young boy, and bring him to the tabernacle, to bring him to be raised there to serve God as an offering back to him. And so here's where we pick up the story in verse number 1. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Eli is like the head priest, if you will. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. The author wants us to know a couple of things. But what I want to point out is, kids, listen to me. So many times you are given age limits. And with God, there are no age limits. Listen, kids, listen. Doesn't matter your age. Samuel was just a young boy. Young. Like, he could have been, I mean, there's a lot of dispute. We don't really know how old he was. It could have been anywhere from 3 years old or 9 when he was brought here. But while he's in elementary school, we'll just put it that way. God wants to use you, kids. So many times your parents, I'm guilty of this, so many times we will tell our kids, no, you need to wait until you're 12 before. Or you need to wait until you're 16. Or you need to wait until you're 18. Or 21. Or 25. You know, whatever that age is. So many times age limits have been put on us. And sometimes for very good reasons. But with God, there are no age limits. Kids, listen to me. We prayed. You heard Steve pray for you as you go back to your schools. Listen, this is so important because there is no one, whether you're homeschool or whether you're public school, charter school, university, it doesn't matter. Wherever you find yourself, you are surrounded by friends that only you are going to be able to share Jesus with. I'm not able to, you know, pop into your homeschool group. I'm not able to pop into your charter school or your public school, you know, but you are. You're there. And what God wants to do in you while you're young, if you will open yourself up to Him. Kids, listen. Kids, will you open yourself up to Him? Will you listen to what God is saying to you so that you can help your friends know Jesus on the soccer field, on whatever sport you play? You're the one who's out there. You're the one who can have good sportsman's conduct. You're the one, right? I know some of you are like, well, you should see the parents in the stands. Yes, I know. But you know what? You're on the field. You can help that person that you tripped. Get them back up. God can use you in those ways. He wants to use you in those ways. You are valuable to God. And I wonder, this morning, I want you, if you're a kid in here, I want you to know that God is tapping you on the shoulder. He wants to speak to you. Are you open to hearing from Him? But it's not just for the kids. It's for me. It's for you as well. Now, one night, Eli was almost blind. by now. So he's older. He had gone to bed because that's what old people do. They go to bed early because I know I go to bed early. Then it says the lamp of God had not yet gone out yet. Now, again, in the scriptures, there's so many layers. Every passage could take many different directions. And today we've focused in on this idea of listening. But I would just want to say this. I mean, there could be a whole teaching about this. But, you know, the lamp of God that was there in the middle of that tabernacle was lit at night and was to be kept lit all throughout the night. Why? It was to remind the people of Israel that even in the darkness, God is the light. Even in the darkness of our decisions, of our confusion, in the darkness of life, God is our light. And we need to keep our eyes focused on Him. It was also a reminder to the people of Israel that they are called to be a light to the nations. Kids, you are called to be a light to your circle of friends. Mom and dad, you are called to be a light to your circle of parents and your friends that you hang out with and the people that you work with. You are called to be a light wherever you go. This is a way that God speaks to us. But the lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. And don't forget, this is the boy Samuel. This is the child Samuel. And suddenly the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up. He ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. And then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." And again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son." Eli said, "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. Can we just ask ourselves this question? Do you know the Lord? Samuel did not yet know the Lord. See, God calls us into a relationship with Him to actually know Him. Not know about Him. Not to have a bunch of information about what theology says God is. No, this is that intimate, do you actually really know Him? When you know Him, you'll hear His voice, and you'll know it's His voice. That's the way Jesus put it. "My sheep hear my voice." Do you hear the voice of God? It's possible for you to do that. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up, went to Eli. He says, "Here I am. Did you call me?" And that's when it clicked in Eli. It wasn't until after the third time Eli realized this. Now, the priest, the guy who's supposed to be in charge, who's supposed to be leading, who's leading other priests, his own sons. It says Eli realized by this time that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. Now, some of you have been disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus for years, 10, 15, 20, 25, 40 years maybe. My question for you is, are you stuck like Eli was? Here, God is speaking, and Eli doesn't even recognize that God is speaking until after the third time. There's a bunch of things going on in Eli's life, and we know because of all these other things that there was some callousness, that maybe Eli was just going through the routine, the ritual, because he was still there doing what he was supposed to do, but he had lost the heart behind it. Christ follower, what about you? Have you lost your heart behind following Jesus? Have you lost that passion to really hear, what does God have for me today? Jesus, what is it that you want to speak to me today? How do you want me to live on mission today? Has it just become a routine? Has church just become a routine? Do you just come here because this is what you have done for years? You don't come with an anticipation of actually hearing from God. You don't actually come thinking that God could actually manifest Himself, that He could show Himself present in this space. Maybe you have fallen into just this routine. You've become dull to hearing from God. Today, I wonder if you could just present your heart back to God and say, "God, will you give me ears to hear again? Will you give me a soft heart? I mean, life's been hard for you. There's a lot of bad stuff that has happened that has made you callous. You need to ask God to create a softness in you once again so that you can actually hear from God. Well, Eli realized it was God that was actually trying to speak to Samuel. And so he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls you again, here's what your response needs to be. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so Samuel goes back to bed. And then the Lord came and called, just like he did before. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Is that your posture when you go to meet with Jesus in the morning or at noon or, you know, at night before you go to bed? Is this your posture? Speak, because I'm listening. We're really good at talking. You know, do you remember, like, when I was growing up, my dad would tell me, or my mom would tell me, God gave you two ears and one mouth. You need to do a whole lot more listening and a lot less of this, right? And I don't know if they ever told you that, but man, I was told that. Here, do you show up to God saying, God, will you speak to me today? Let me hear from you. You say, well, how do we actually do that? How is that actually practiced out? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you're from Rhode Island, you know what Bach is, right? Bach Toyota, right? Well, that's not what this stands for. This is going to help you remember, though. If you're a Rhode Islander, Bach Toyota, you're like, what? Something spiritual can come from a car dealership? Yes, absolutely. And here's what it is. These are ways from hearing from God. The B stands for the Bible. Just think Bach. When you think of ways to hear from God, Bach Toyota. No, Bach is the B is for Bible. That's the primary source, and the way that God wants to speak to you is through the Bible. Here's what happens. A lot of us get into a routine, whether it's a devotional that we're going through or whether you're doing, chapter by chapter or paragraph by paragraph, and it just becomes routine for us, just like it did for Eli. And we sit down, we read, and then we get up, and then we have our coffee, and we just move on our day. Do you show up at the reading of God's Word in your life with a posture? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And then maybe you read less. You just read a paragraph. And then you're leaning into that. And you're listening. What is it, Jesus, that you want me to zero in on? And this means you got to slow down. Because a lot of times when you go to sit down to read, in your mind, you're thinking about what you're doing next. Where you got to go, where you got to be. That was one thing that was so beautiful about the sabbatical. Can you imagine if somebody just took away time constraints from you? Oh my gosh. It didn't matter if I was mowing my yard or reading my Bible. I didn't have to hurry and be done for anything, right? Because I didn't have to worry about the next appointment, the next project, the next thing that I had to prep for. I didn't have to worry about that. I could just slow down. And I didn't realize how much I was caught up in the busyness of the day. And I know that many of you have never been afforded the opportunity that I was. But here's what I do know, that we all still need to just slow down. We all need to work into our life the time to slow down and enter God's word from a posture of speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I think that small little prayer before you actually read God's word could actually change your life. Why? Because God answers those kinds of prayers. And he answered it in Samuel's life. He'll answer it in your life. Other people, we hear from God through other people. God will give you. Just this past week, one of the elders was, I was on the phone with them, and they were like, Rick, I woke up in the middle of the night with this word, courage, courage, courage. And then he gets up in the morning and it's courage. And that one word was a way that God was speaking to him and giving him confidence. And then he's reminded of all the scriptures that tells us not to be fearful, but to be have courage. God will speak to you through other people. God will give you a verse, and then he's going to bring somebody to the forefront of your mind that you're supposed to share that verse with them. That's how God speaks, through other people. He speaks through you. He can speak through you. Have you ever thought about that for yourself, that God could actually speak to somebody else through your words? That's what he desires. The other thing is circumstances. God will use circumstances in our life to speak loud and clear. The problem is that we plow right through that circumstance. We just keep on moving. We don't pause long enough to think about this thing and to ask, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? Or, well, God, how are you trying to speak to me through this? We just we want to find the solution and move on. And we've got to slow down, so that we can listen, so that we can hear. And through all these is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks to us through the Word. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks to us through other people. It's the Holy Spirit who will speak to you through your circumstances, bad or good. You could have the worst circumstance, or it can be the best circumstance, but the Holy Spirit can actually speak to you through that, if you will take the time to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And this, in order to do this, you've got to slow yourself down and be still and be silent. This is something that I had to practice over when I was in that master class. We always had homework, and it started out with 2 minutes. Be silent for 2 minutes. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh. I mean, it was like 30 seconds. And my mind is like, just thinking about all this stuff. This is hard, but it's scriptural. Here's just a couple of verses. Look at this. Psalms 37:7. And to the first part of that verse, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act, not you. It's to wait patiently. Man, I have had this all wrong. To be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. What I want to do is get up. I'll sit down and I'll think, oh, I know how I can do this. I can fix it this way. And then I just get up and boom, charge for it. Instead of just being still in God's presence, be still, still your heart, still your mind, which is hard to do. I know that. And it has become increasingly harder ever since 2007, whenever the iPhone came out. All the research shows this, that we are a more distracted nation than ever before. And I love the iPhone. I have one. I'm not talking bad about it. But we've got to learn how to shut that thing down. We've got to learn how to put that to the side and just be still and not always try and see what everybody else is doing and wait for the next notification. Check this out on Snapchat. Check this out on Instagram. We've got to be still and just be silent before God. Let him act. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. This is an Old Testament verse. But Paul said in the New Testament, as New Testament Christians, which that's, if you're a Christ follower in here, that's what you are, a New Testament Christian. We're under this new covenant. And in that, we have become his temple. So read that with that thought. But the Lord is in his holy temple. He's in you. And he says, let all the earth, let me be silent before him. Silence is such a hard thing for us, especially for our minds that continue to race about all the stuff that we have to get done. Jesus calls us to live life differently. He lives us to call, he calls us to live our life from a place of being before we do. And are you being with Jesus? And are you living from a place of just being with him, of hearing his voice, of saying, speak, I am listening. That's the posture that he's calling us to live from. And here's something that we have to guard against. Another book that I read, multiple books by Dallas Willard. I don't know if you've ever heard of Dallas Willard. I listened to his biography first. I went through his biography. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. But here's what if I could sum up Dallas Willard's life, it would be that we are called to a conversational relationship with Jesus and just grow in that. And if you will grow in that, your life, you'll be bringing kingdom life. You'll be bringing more of God's kingdom here on earth in heaven as it is in heaven. Here's what he warns us about, this idea of hearing from God. We must make it our primary goal not just to hear the voice of God. Because if that's your primary goal, why? So that you can become proud, so you can go say, hey, I heard from God and this is what God... No, he's like, your primary goal isn't that. It's to be mature people in a loving relationship with God. That's our goal. And listening is a part of that. And we're going to practice that this morning through communion. So if you were served, I hope everybody received their communion elements. If you didn't, just lift your hand. The ushers will come to you. And make sure that you have a communion element. Part of the practice of being silent. Now, this is something, as some people get a little bit nervous about this. They're like, oh, that sounds a little too new agey and stuff like that. Well, another book that I'm reading is from the deep waters of something. I forget what it is. But it's about the church, the early church fathers from thousands of years ago and the desert fathers. Like where the Nicene Creed came from. It's these church fathers. And you know what they practiced? They practiced times of silence. They practiced times of just putting everything out and being in seclusion. Like you talk about sabbatical, some of them would go out into, quote, the desert and would hang out there for months, some years. One desert father that I read about actually climbed up into a tree, which I would never do, but he climbed up into a tree and stayed there for 3 or 4 years. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? But whatever, okay. But he was silent. He had to escape. That's obviously, I think that's the extreme. But we can learn the way that the early followers of Jesus practiced their faith in Jesus. And that was to pull away, to create space for silence. And something, a way that I have been trying to do that throughout the summer, is to be silent. No music, no. A lot of times I used to like always have worship music playing in the background. I even shut that off. It's just silent and sitting still. It's closing my eyes. I'm feeling my feet planted firmly on the floor, or if I'm sitting, I'm feeling myself, you know, sitting there. I'm aware of what my body is doing. And then I would start, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And I'd set my timer. And I got to 2 minutes. I got to 4 minutes and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe I can do 4 minutes. One time I journaled it because I didn't know it was this long. One time I journaled, it was 7 minutes in silence. I mean, for somebody with undiagnosed ADHD, oh my gosh, you can sit still for 7 minutes. Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. You can do this. And then I was able to start writing all the different ways that I have been able to hear from God, all the ways that he is at work. There's nothing like it. He's calling you into life like that too. That isn't just for me because I'm a pastor. That's for every Christ follower that he's calling you into. So here's how I want us to do this. I'm going to read a passage of scripture from Colossians, and it has the focus of communion. It's what communion is all about. It's about us communing with God, us remembering Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. It's us becoming more one with him. I'm going to read this passage, and then we're going to settle in on the last verse. And will you sit there with from a posture of recognizing what your body is saying right now, closing out all the distractions that are around you? And I know you're thinking, this is weird, Rick. You know, this is so weird. I'm telling you, if you will get into this practice, it will be so helpful. So let's do it. Let's just practice this. Forget it. If your kids are sitting, don't even worry about what your kids are doing. All right, kids, you're going to be great. You're going to enter into this. You can be silent with us. You can hear from God right now. So close your eyes, feet firmly planted on the floor, or some comfortable position. Feel yourself sitting there. Let's listen to this passage. It says, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. God made peace with everything, with you in heaven and on earth, by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from God by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet, now, Jesus has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before God without a single fault." Will you receive that last phrase? This is God's word. Will you close your eyes and just receive God's word to you? If you have placed your faith and trust in the person of Jesus, if you believe that Jesus has forgiven you of your sins, if he's your Savior, will you receive his word that he says about you? You are holy, blameless, without a single fault. Just sit there for the next 60 seconds. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. That was 60 seconds. Did you hear Jesus speak to you that you're holy, that you're blameless, that you're without a single fault? That's what he wants to speak to you if he's in your life. See, some of you, in your mind, you're just thinking all the bad junk that's there. And what Jesus is saying, no, you're holy and you're blameless. and you're without a single fault. Let's be reminded of how we are holy and that we are blameless and without a single fault. The way that we practice communion here is that we do this together as a church family. We're going to take the bread first and then we'll receive the juice after that. The Apostle Paul did say, though, let every person examine himself, because we don't want to take of the Lord's cup in an unworthy manner. That's meaning any unconfessed sin. So I'm going to pause and let you and God just talk to each other. And do you need to confess anything to Jesus? You do that now. Jesus, thank you that we can have forgiveness of sin. Thank you that we really can, or that you see us as holy and blameless and without a single fault. We're so thankful for that truth, even though we don't feel like that many times. We know that's the truth of your word if we've placed our faith in you. So thank you for making that possible. Here this morning, we're remembering what made that possible. You did. You gave your life. Your blood was shed on that cross so that we could be made whole. Thank you. And now, Jesus, I pray that you'll be present here among us as we receive these elements, reminding us of your broken body. Thank you. Let's take the bread first. And Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." And after the bread, he took the cup and he said, This is my blood shed for you so that we could have the forgiveness of sins. It's a symbol that there's a new covenant that's been created. Jesus, we say thank you for this new covenant. Take and drink. Jesus, we're so thankful that you desire to be one with us. Thank you for making it possible. And Jesus, we pray that we'll bring more of ourselves to you from a posture of just listening instead of doing. God, I know that some of us struggle with that really in a really a real way. Help us. And thank you for what you have done, and thank you for what you're going to do here among us. In Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.